Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Hello, hello. Here we are together again. If you're tuning in to this podcast for the first time, this is Everyday Spirituality, and I'm your host, Marge Fennellan. Very, very happy to be chatting with you today, and I thank you for joining me. I have lots on my mind and heart today to share with you, and I hope you're ready for a lot of inspiration and maybe some new ideas for devotion to our Blessed Mother, because that's what's most on my mind right now. This week, I ran across a quote by St. Bonaventure. It was just a random thing. I was looking for something else and opened this book. And of course, you can't see the book I'm holding, but what I have here is Manual for Marian Devotion. I love this book. I absolutely love this book, Manual for Marian Devotion. Just full of wisdom and inspiration and prayers, all kinds of things. It's really kind of a little Marian resource. And when I say little, it is a very small book, almost pocket size, not quite. In any case, I opened up randomly and found this quote from St. Bonaventure, and I'll read it to you because I think it's not very long, but the whole thing is worth listening to, and then I'd like to talk about it because there are it's a springboard for quite a few things regarding our Blessed Mother that I think we don't often consider. So here's the quote. "The Lord rules me, O Virgin Mother of God, because you have turned on me your gracious countenance. Blessed are your most resplendent eyes, which you deign to turn on sinners. Blessed is the light and the splendor of your countenance. Blessed is the grace of your face. Blessed be the mercy of your hands. Blessed be the stream of your virginal milk. Let the prophets and apostles of God bless you. Let martyrs, confessors, and virgins sing praise to you." End quote. The one line that stood out to me immediately when I read this quote is the line about our Blessed Mother's eyes, her eyes. And I'm going to read it again. "Blessed are your most resplendent eyes, which you deign to turn on sinners." Most resplendent eyes, which you deign to turn on sinners. On sinners. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of little innuendos and different angles that just this one line could take us into meditating on. Her resplendent eyes, her most resplendent eyes. But then, which she deigns to turn on sinners. And that's the part that really caught me. She deigns to turn these beautiful, pure, resplendent eyes of hers on sinners. Not just the children who follow her son perfectly, not just the most devoted, not just the holy ones of the church, but on sinners. How can she possibly do that? And what I mean by that is this. Here's where my stream of thought went after I read that quote. Because I actually had to put my other stuff aside that I was working on. And I had to just sit and think for a while. Because like I said, it really struck my heart. She deigns to turn her resplendent eyes on sinners. Sinners are the ones who hurt her son. Sinners are the ones who hurt her son, who caused him to suffer on the cross. Sinners, we, those of us, and I include myself because I am definitely a sinner, not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, we caused our Lord Jesus to suffer. And when we caused our Lord Jesus to suffer, we caused our Blessed Mother to suffer, His mother to suffer. So when she looks at a sinner, when she turns those resplendent eyes on the sinner, I have to wonder, what does she see? And what I mean by that is not physically, you know, face, hair, etc. What I mean is, what does she see? Does she see only the heart of that person? Does she see the sins that he or she committed? Does she feel any lingering pain from our Lord's passion and crucifixion? I wonder these things because she was there and she knew at the time that our Lord suffered and died. She knew why. She knew that it was sin that caused that. It was necessary for him to make that sacrifice to open the gates of heaven for us. And so she deigns to turn her eyes on sinners, not out of anger, not out of revenge, not even out of seeking an apology. And that's the part that's so amazing to me. She's not looking at us. When she looks at us with those beautiful, pure eyes of hers, she's not looking for retribution or retaliation. Although, most definitely, she's seeking our cooperation in the plan of salvation. She's definitely seeking our repentance, but not in a commanding kind of way, but in a pleading kind of way. Because remember, I've said this in previous episodes, the only reason Mary exists or ever has existed is Jesus, to give birth to him and to point the way to him, to lead us to him. That's her only reason for existence, Jesus. So when she turns those eyes, those resplendent eyes on sinners, I think at least what I could imagine, if I closed my eyes and pretended I was sitting, well, yeah, I probably am sitting right in front of her because she's everywhere, or she can be everywhere. She can visit us, even though we can't see her, because our Lord allows that. In any case, what I would see if I could physically see her, I think I would see hopefulness. Because as I wrote in my book, Imitating Mary, our Blessed Mother, and I speak on this so often, our Blessed Mother is a woman of profound hope. It's her hope that got her through that awful mess of passion and crucifixion. Her hope in God. And so when she looks at us, even in our sinfulness, even in our sorrow and pain, even in all of the trauma we caused her son, when she looks at us, she looks at us with hope, with the hope of God, because she knows that because Jesus died and rose, we have the hope of conversion. We have the hope of transformation, the hope of spending eternity with our Lord. And so she deigns to turn her eyes on us because she is looking to us. She's looking upon us with great love and great hope because she knows our potential. She knows what we can be if we more closely follow her son. Resplendent eyes on sinners. She's calling to us with her eyes. Have you ever looked at, and I hope you do this. I hope you do this. You can do it right now while you're listening to this podcast. But I hope you do it soon, and I hope you do it every single day. I hope that you sit yourself down before an image of our Blessed Mother. I hope, I pray, I urge you to make sure you have one in your home. A beautiful image of our Blessed Mother. There are so many. There are so many. I am partial to the Mother Thrice Admirable of Schoenstatt. That's mine. You can look it up online. Schoenstatt is spelled S-C-H-O-E-N-S-T-A-T-T. Schoenstatt. S-C-H-O-E-N-S-T-A-T-T. Schoenstatt is a movement, a lay movement, ecclesial movement in the church. But more importantly, I'm not doing a commercial for the movement. What I'm doing here is that particular image for me allows me to look directly into our Blessed Mother's eyes. She's there holding Christ as a child. And there's something about her eyes that draws me in and won't let me go. Now, I don't mean anything strange and magic. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean because they're just, to me, so beautiful. They are indeed resplendent. So please find an image of our Blessed Mother that you particularly like. Maybe it's the one from the Schoenstatt movement. Maybe it's Fatima. Maybe there are tons. Lourdes. There are so many images, so many beautiful paintings of our Blessed Mother. Find one. Find one and sit down and without anything in your head. Nothing premeditated, all right? Except that what you want to do is take in the resplendence of those eyes and allow those eyes to speak to you. You know, if you have lots of time, spend all that time before her. But even if each day you have only 2 or 3 minutes to just stop and look into our Blessed Mother's eyes. Oh, please do that. Oh, please do that. You know why? Because if you do that, when you do that, you will, if not the first time right off the bat, then eventually you will find something, you'll feel something moving deep within your heart. Allow her that, allow yourself that. There's also, you know, the memorare that I love so much. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. Most of us know that prayer. If we don't, it's easy to find online. This line, after I read the quote from St. Bonaventure, then immediately that prayer came to my mind. Immediately, that particular line, turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, immediately came to my mind. Why? Because in a sense, it's the same thing that St. Bonaventure says, but phrased in a slightly different way. Because here's the part I love. Most gracious advocate. Think what I said just a few minutes ago in terms of our Blessed Mother and her incredible hope in God, that she's a woman of profound hope, and that the only reason she exists is Jesus. And what does Jesus want more than anything is to have all of us with him in eternity. And so our Blessed Mother, because of her closeness to our Lord, is given the gift and privilege to intercede for us and distribute graces to us. She advocates before her Son on our behalf. She advocates before her Son on our behalf. In other words, when she looks at us with those beautiful, resplendent eyes, and she sees our sinfulness, she immediately goes to her Son and, so to speak, pleads our case before him. She advocates, she prays, she intercedes for our needs and our salvation. Because for as much as Jesus wants us in eternity, so does his dear Blessed Mother. Because she wants whatever God the Father wants. Whatever God's will is, that's exactly what our Blessed Mother wants. Always and forever. Turn then, most gracious advocate, a gracious advocate. See, that's how she can turn her eyes on sinners. Because she's gracious. She forgives, she loves, she accepts every single one of us, no matter what we have done, no matter what we will ever do. If you think you have a sin that's unforgivable, if you think that you've done something that makes you unworthy of love, oh, my friend, you are completely wrong. Because no one is unworthy of love, and no sin cannot be forgiven. That's the truth. As long as we repent, there is no sin that is unforgivable. And our Blessed Mother knows that. She knows it. And so she turns those gracious eyes, those resplendent eyes on us, knowing that we are lovable and forgivable. Even though we played such an awful part in the suffering and crucifixion of her dear Son. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that just amazing? And so when I sit in front of my, I call it my, because it's my favorite image of our Blessed Mother. When I sit before her image and I look into her eyes, and I will tell you that there was a time in my life when it was very hard. I could look at her picture, but I could not look directly into her eyes. Does that surprise you? It surprises me, as a matter of fact, because when I think of how I long to gaze into her eyes now and where I was at one time earlier in my life, I was convinced that I was awful and unlovable. And so I couldn't look into her eyes. And more than that, because of having been raised by an abusive mother, I had been conditioned that looking into my mother's eyes it struck fear in me. I never could make eye contact with my mother. Never, ever, ever until the end of her life. And my whole story is in Forgiving Mother, a Marian novena of healing and peace. I'm not getting into my life story right now, but the point is, I was at a place because I was conditioned that mother's eyes, whether it was my biological mother, or then of course that kind of transferred onto our Blessed Mother in my case, that looking into the mother's eyes was a threat. It was painful. And so I couldn't do it. I would look at the picture because we had it around our house. I was always around pictures of the Blessed Mother, going to Catholic grade school. I was always visiting holy places, but to look into Mary's eyes, oh no, no, I could not do it. Until through her amazing heart, through her absolute inexhaustible gracious advocacy of me, through that, I finally was able one day to briefly look in her eyes. And from that moment on, I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough. And now I love to do that every day, if at all possible. I even carry that image in a little plastic folder. It's only maybe 3 or 4 inches wide and 4 or 5 inches tall. I carry that image of our Blessed Mother with me wherever I go. So I travel a lot, all over the country, and doing speaking engagements and research on projects and so forth. She's always with me, and it's, you know, there are times where I just get the desire to look into my mom's eyes, meaning the Blessed Mother, and I pull out my little folder and I just look at her. Give it a try. And even if it's hard, don't give up. If you can't do it the first time, then enough for the day. That's fine. And then go back to her image another time, the next day, I hope, or later in the day, and try to hold that a little longer and gradually build up until she has been able to reach into your heart deeply enough that you have no problem gazing into those eyes. And then pour your heart out to her. Sit in silence and listen to her. And when you think you've taken in everything she has for you, then respond with whatever's in your heart. Try it. You'll be surprised. I'm sure you will. You'll be pleasantly surprised at how well this goes and how this changes you. It'll take a little discipline, You know, a guts, I think. But give it a try. Give it a try. And I'll bet that before too long, you will start to do like I'm doing right now and encouraging others to do the same. Because Mary is always there for us. You see, St. Bonaventure, perfect. Deign to turn your resplendent eyes on sinners. Exactly. Because her eyes are resplendent. They're full of love. We fear, we think they're going to be full of anger, or maybe, I don't know, all different things. It depends on, you know, how we were brought up or what we think of ourselves or what we think of God, what we think of the Blessed Mother. But those eyes are full of love. They're full of love, and they're full of hope, and they're full of forgiveness. They're full of graciousness. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. Eyes of mercy. You see, that is perfect. That is the perfect description of Mary's eyes. They're the eyes of mercy. They hold only mercy, not hate, not regret, but mercy. And where does she get that mercy? Of course, from her son, who is divine mercy himself. But her eyes, your eyes of mercy, they're eyes of mercy. They give only that merciful love. Isn't that amazing? Thine eyes of mercy toward us. If you can't, you know, if you're sitting in front of our mother's picture and you can't think of anything to say, try just that. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward me. See what happens with that. There's a image that I like very much, and I think I'm going to be talking about it. It's actually a shrine, Marian Shrine. I'm going to be talking about that more in a future podcast, but for right now, I want to just give a short example, very short example, of something that also came to my mind when I ran across this quote from St. Bonaventure. And then when I read it, my mind also went, not only did it go to the memory, but it also went to a place. And the place is Our Lady of Peace Shrine in Santa Clara, California. And like I said, that's almost a whole podcast. And I will follow up with that next time. But I encourage you to look it up, search it online, Our Lady of Peace. Look at my website, margefenelon.com. I have written about it because I visited there, Our Lady of Peace Shrine in Santa Clara, California. I've written about it. But here's the thing. Here's the most important thing that I want to round this up so that we come kind of full circle with this podcast. The reason I thought of that shrine is because the focal point of the shrine is a statue of Our Lady, of Our Blessed Mother, a statue that is 32 feet high. It's nearly with the platform it's on, nearly three stories high. It's a big, she's a big girl. It's a large statue, 7,200 pounds of statue, but it's done so well. It is done so well. And the reason I'm bringing that up with this, within the context of Mary's eyes of mercy, is because in that statue, she has eyes of mercy. The way the statue is formed, the way she stands, the way she looks out, is completely, it's mercy. It's mercy embodied in our Blessed Mother. And I loved it. I thought, you know, when I read about it ahead of time, and I thought, oh man, stainless steel, a metal statue of the Blessed Mother. It was just beyond what was familiar to me. And so I couldn't wrap my mind around it. But when I went, I thought it was perfect, perfectly done, perfectly situated. And I fell in love with those eyes of hers. That was the best part. Her face. It was another situation where I just wanted to look and look and look at her face. So look it up. Go to my website, margefenelon.com. Check it out. Just in the search button, upper right-hand corner, there's a little search symbol. Look it up, Our Lady of Peace Shrine in Santa Clara, California. I'm going to be talking about this in the next podcast because there's a whole lot more, not just that shrine, but this holy idea, Our Lady of Peace. Please, friends, I'd like to hear back from you. So please go to my website, margefenelon.com. There's a contact me form. I want to hear from you. Email me. Definitely say, you can send in your prayer requests because I take prayer requests and I really do pray for the people who send their requests to me, and I do my best to respond to every single one. So please, margefenelon.com. Also, you can find me on Facebook. My page is Marge Steinhage Fenelon. Marge Steinhage Fenelon. That's my, Steinhage is my maiden name, Marge Steinhage Fenelon. On Twitter, my Twitter handle is at Marge Steinfen. Instagram as well, Marge Steinfen. I want to hear from you. Follow me. Like my page. That's where all the good stuff is. That's where all the news and about what I'm up to, but then things of interest that I find when I'm browsing the web and listening to conversations. So margefenelon.com, Marge Steinhage Fenelon on Facebook. And please like this podcast and share it with others so we can spread the love of Mary together. God bless you, my friends. And please look into those eyes of our Blessed May Mary protect and guide you always.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.